Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 112. This is December 14, 2009, which is also special within the series called Obedience to God or Man, Bible Study Lesson Number 24. Open your Bibles to James Chapter 3, where we left off, as we're laying the groundwork into the two cultures and nations, the client nation that began with Seth, the concept of national governments which represent God through the freedom that exists within them, the spiritual influences upon them, versus the nations that totally follow the satanic system. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the friendly spirit of absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to teach one more class. Sanctify and bless this teaching. Make it real in the souls of those who study it, we ask you, not for our glory or for our promotion, but they might truly understand the teachings of the Word of God. In Christ's name, amen. For some reason, USA Today decided to do a lot of stuff these days, I've noticed at different times, related to so-called religion. On their Thursday, December 10th, last Thursday's paper, headlines, Mixing Their Religion, front page. Big Christmas tree with menorah lights on it, and the all-seeing eye, and all kinds of other stuff attached to it, besides a star on the top. They're mixing their religion. Many choose their faith from a spiritual buffet. Going to church this Sunday, looking around, the chances are that 1 in 5 people there find spiritual energy in mountains or trees, and 1 in 6 believe in the evil eye. That certain people can cast curses with a look. Believe your Christian pastor doesn't preach in a Catholic church. Chances are that 1 in 5 members believe in reincarnation the way never taught in catechism class. That you'll be born in the world again and again. Elements of Eastern faith and New Age thinking have become widely adopted by 65% of U.S. adults, including many who call themselves Protestants and Catholics, according to a survey by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life released Wednesday. Syncretism, mashing up contradictory beliefs in Catholic rocker Madonna's devotion to a Kabbalah light version of Jewish mysticism, appears on the rise. According to survey, other major findings, devotion to one clear faith is fading. Of the 72 Americans who attend religious services at least once a year, including holiday weddings and funerals, 35% say they attend in multi-places, often hopscotching across denominations. They are like President Obama, who currently has no home church. He has worshipped at a Baptist church, an Episcopal one, and a non-denominational chapel at Camp David. Mixing and matching practices and beliefs is as much the norm as it is the exception. Pew's Alan Copperman said, "Are they gazing, sampling, just curious? We really don't know." Even so, say Pew researcher Greg Smith, their findings all point toward a spiritual and religious openness, not necessarily a lack of seriousness among findings. 26% of those who attend religious services say they do so at more than one place occasionally, and 9% roam regularly from their home church for services. 28% of people who attend church at least weekly say they visit multiple churches outside their own tradition. 59% of less frequent church attendees say they attend worship at multiple places. The survey of 2003 adults, August 11th to 27th, has a margin error of plus or minus 2.5 percentage points. It measures Protestants, Catholics, and the unaffiliate. There are not enough people of other faith surveys for analysis. For an extremely long time, most of us thought belonging to membership or home church was monogamous, even if it was a sure monogamy, because we all know about church switching, says sociologist of religion Scott Puma, professor at the Hart Institute for Religion Research at Hartford, Connecticut. Today, the individual rarely finds all their spiritual needs met in one congregation or one religion. In the 1980s, Alan Miller and Julia Jarvis were graduate school together at Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville. Today, Miller is present seminary leading voice for Baptist Orthodoxy. He sees a rapid confusion about faith revealed in the pew finding. This is a friend of the pulpit as much as the pew to be clear about what is and what is not compatible with Christianity and belief in salvation only through Christ, Miller says. Pew says two and three adults believe in or cite an experience with at least one supernatural phenomenon included. 26% find spiritual energy in physical things. 25% believe in astrology. 24% say people will be reborn in this world again and again. 23% say yoga is a spiritual practice. Miller calls these curiant confusions attached to the latest fashionable free-floating belief. Well, years ago, it would have been spiritualism. They would have known what, they would not have known what yoga was, but might have been attracted to the new thought of the time. Miller said his friend or classmate giggles at that. She's an ordained minister in the Progressive United Church of Christ, leads the Interfaith Family Project, which meets for weekly worship at a Silver Springs, Maryland high school. Jarvis of Tacoma Park, Maryland, also studies with Buddhist teachers, which finds a spiritual dimension yoga. Not by astrology, but my mother, who grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, was a staunch Baptist all her life, worked at a horoscope daily, and totally believed it, Jarvis said. Jarvis said, I had never, like 49% of adults in the Peace Survey, also had a moment of religious or spiritual awakening. My mother feared for years that I would no longer save, that just 2 days before she died, she had an epiphany. Jarvis said, she said she was tired of a spiritual experience to put aside all religious and political differences and just love each other. That was her blessing to me. And that's what I'm doing. And John, a woman of Alexandria, Virginia, calls herself a very grand Episcopalian who's active in the church. She said, I'm also stretching the boundaries of how we are to be here and now this day, age, and culture. She leads pilgrimages to Egypt, New Mexico, and Ireland to help travelers discover the truths and visions in Coptic, Native American, and Celtic traditions. We're in celebration, the winter soul ties with a home ceremony for guests to delight in the sun's gifts. We are all in a relationship with the cosmos. We need to honor that, says Roman, who doesn't see herself crossing barriers, but rather coming full circle with ancient ideas. Coming full circle with ancient ideas. And I continue the article. I want you to think about it. I'm reading this long article for a reason that's important to our study. People have always mixed religions, either in ignorance or willfully, says Stephen Porcarillo, Director of Graduate Division of Religious and Theological Studies, Boston University. Thankfully, Pope John Paul II's warning to explicitly avoid Buddhism and Hindu practices prepares as American Catholics are so used to not hearing what the official church tells them on birth control, divorce, premarital sex, and other points, that they think they're un-Catholic, they don't think they're un-Catholic when they believe and do what they please. Combating separatism has troubled popes for centuries, says the Reverend Dan Partee, Chairman of the Theology Department of Franciscans University in Steubenville, Ohio. The problem with barring spiritual ideas is that the life-giving truth becomes compromised as we understand it as Catholic, Patty says. Bavaro sees a similar trend among Protestants, a resistance to being told what to think. Every people, even people who call themselves by denominational tag, don't really feel the identity attached to them as they once did, he says. Without that identity marker, what is to prevent you from checking out some other church? Nothing much. Cooperman notes that new survey is measuring a phenomenon that may also been going on for ages. Also does not clearly establish how much is due to interfaith relationships. A new study of interfaithfamily.com, which encourages Jewish-Christian couples to raise their children as Jews, look specifically at the Christian Hanukkah season. The findings are not scientific, but give an indication of unmarried couples raising their children as Jews. Most will celebrate Hanukkah, which begins on Friday night this year at home. Less than 48% will celebrate Christmas, and largely in a secular fashion. Pew specifically excludes the major holidays and life cycle events to focus on ordinary worshiping practices. Report says that findings interfaith couples are complex in part because people in mixed marriages attend worship less frequently than those from the same faith spouse. Affairs Mixing Chart has been building other surveys in the past 2 years that touched on the swirling, unbounded paths of believers. 47% to 59% of Americans have changed religions at least once. A Pew survey in April found. The top reason for most of their spiritual needs weren't being better. They liked another faith more, or changed religions or moral beliefs. The percentage of people who call themselves Christians has dropped more than 11% in a generation. So many people decline any religious label. At the nuns now, 15% of USA are the largest religious group after Catholics and Baptists, according to the American Religious Identification Survey last March. Despite America's overwhelming allegiance to someone they call God, 92% in Pew's 2008 U.S. Religious Landscape Survey, 70% said many religions can lead to eternal life, and 68% say there's more than one true way to interpret the teachings of our religion. You see, this is the emerging church movement. This is the idea that takes away from the dogmatism of the Word of God. Continuing the article, most 55% say a guardian angel has protected them from harm, and 52% believe in prophetic dreams, according to surveys by Baylor University, released in 2006-2008. In short, we believe our own experiences are authentic and not authority can say otherwise. Then a very Eastern notion, says Todd Hunter, a Bethesda man and retired after 3 decades leading the United Church of Christ congregation. He studied in Hindu ashram in India and practiced Zen meditation and Christian contemplative prayer. In the Western regions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, the focus is what do you believe? There's always a tremendous focus on doctrine, teaching, he said. In East Buddhism, Hinduism, in particular, the leading question is, do you know God? It's much more experience-based. You know, that's how you meet God is wonderful. Now, there's a chart in the middle that says what we believe, where we worship. We don't have to adopt Eastern New Age beliefs or experiences that conflict with basic Christian doctrines. Alright, total number of people, total number of Christians. The position, the styles, and patterns can affect people's lives. 25% of the general population, 23% of those who profess to be Christians. People will be reborn this world again over reincarnation. 24% of the general population, 22% of people call themselves Christians. Yoga is a spiritual practice, 23% of the general population, 21% of those who profess to be Christians. People with the evil eye can cast curses or spells, 16% of the general population, but 17% of so-called Christians. Attending other services, attending worship services beyond their own faith is more common among Protestants, 30% than Catholics, 19%. 15% among white evangelicals, 9% among okay. Two others and okay, 15% is one other faith. 9% is two other faiths, 3% is three other faiths. No right, no lie, 11% is one of the faith, 8% is two of the faith, 5% is three of the faith. Among black Protestants, 18% is one of the faith, 14% is two others, and 9% is three others. In the faith worship, one-third of Americans, 35% say they attend multiple places of worship, including 25% who attend services outside their own faith. People say they attend multiple places of worship, 11% Protestants, 9% Catholics. I'm sorry, 11% of total population, 9% Protestants, 21% Catholic. Services of one other, 12% general, 15% Protestant, 13% Catholic. Two other faiths, 8% and 10% general, 10% and 5%. Three others, 4% general, 4% Protestant, 1% Catholic. I read you that long article to show you the chaos and the confusion that is going on today. Christianity. James 3:15 says, "The wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. The form of wisdom or zeal for self-glory, sophos, S-O-P-H-I-S, it is a pseudo-wisdom that creates lies about God, better translated craftiness, the sense that putting God on a pedestal actually honors his perfection, is not that which comes down above. Present active indicative of I'm a E-I-M-I plus oop, the active definite negative. Present tense, continuous action, active voice, subject predictions move, making the meaning of the reality of it. a strong remedy. Plus, we have Dr. Comac, K-T-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, means to descend or go down. Plus, all the power, A-O-T-H-E-N, meaning above, refers to the throne room of God's spiritual kingdom. The place where the Christological culture was formed, it was brought down and given to Seth, for the beginning of the cloud nation kingdoms following the fall. The throne room of God, the place where the culture was practiced, was virtually epigelos, A-P-I-G-E-L-O-S, cracking is based on using the right as a means to justify sin or failure, a higher standard for sin and failure. Now, what are we saying here? The wisdom is set not down above. It's not the Christological truth of Christ is set up for it at all. But it's an anti-sexual, natural, devilish concept. Epigelos, E-P-I-G-E-L-O-S, crafting is based on using morality as the means to justify sin or failure, a higher standard for sin or failure. The self-glorification of spiritual values alone, the philosophical respect. This is the cosmic system in action, the way of atoms, cosmic one, sensual. Psychikos, P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S, craftiness based on feelings of natural instinct. The influences of self-justification which come from the nature of corruption, which led to the birth of paganism through the way of Cain, cosmic culture number two. The word devilish, D-I-I-M-O-N-I-O-D-E-S, means crappers that come from demons, influence in society, community. Third culture develops in the fulfillment of sin. When the Adam's way, which became the natural way of just doing it day by day, the Adamic culture, struggling it out, getting it out, finding happiness in marriage and family. From there down, the way of Cain, which Cain turned his back upon God, and all that was truth in the Word of God went out from the presence of God. To the demon-influenced religious world. James 3:16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and evil work. For that place, E-K-E-I in the Greek referring to a group or a community, was zero for self-glory and strife, just contention, contemplation, and competition exist. There is confusion. In the Greek we have A-K-A-T-A-S-T-A-S-I-A, meaning instability or constant change. Change for the sake of change is viewed as a problem solver, but then it creates soul vacuums that suck at evil. This promotes an environment of revolution, turmoil, and unrest that affects life in the community. Issues are never resolved because of the constant desire for self-glory. According to the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, Volume 3, page 447, it refers to the condition of double-mindedness, mentioned James 1:8, and every evil practice, the function of trying to find happiness through satanic ideology, happiness that is based on things going your way as you follow the path of self-glorification. I like to sing, so I'll go to the pastor and I'll get permission to sing solos in church or play my instrument in church and let everybody see me up on the platform doing my thing. Yeah. I'll get involved in some works program and run around. I'll volunteer to do everything the church wants to volunteer for so everybody will see what a good Christian I am. Serving my Jesus, making sacrifices to my home to be there and be in the midst of it. But don't ask me to sit down to 1 hour of dogmatic, hard-faced Bible teaching because that offends me. I don't believe any man has the right to stand up and dogmatically say, thus saith the Word of the Living God. The relationship to an angelic convocation, if it shakes the spirit, well, it should shake us. God is ready to be feared in the assembly of the saints and well in reverence of all them that are before him. We need to come before God in fear and trembling and recognize him for who and what he is and soul and a genuine humility that we can cast our cares upon him, but we can let him lead us through. Recognizing he's got a protocol plan, it has to be his way, not our way. He allows the premise of self-glorification. evil says, look at me. Its foundation is creature glorification based on the premise that God's plan has failed. This leads to placing people you respect on pedestals. You honor them because they appeal to your sense of what is right. And placing people you resent or hate or irritate you under mental condemnation so that nothing about them is worthy of your respect. Judgment of what other people do is confused by your enthusiastic self-glorification. I'm going to do it my way. I have the right to evaluate everybody that walks down the street. You're going to heaven, you're going to hell. You're right, you're wrong. Self-arrogance of people and self-righteousness. We don't need that much doctrine. What we need is more music. What we need is more care and more hand-holding, more crying on each other's shoulder. Don't confuse us by the in-depth teaching of the Word of God. The whole concept of the Seeker's Church, and even evangelical fundamental churches that claim to be Bible-teaching churches, moving further and further away from the teaching of the Word of the living God. The word wisdom in Scripture is a word that categorizes an ideology or set of thinking values. In the book of James, the Greek word sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, is used with reference to two ideologies that are at war with each other. James uses the word in verse 15, for Lucifer's ideology is categorized in three cosmic systems. In verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, speaks of the divine wisdom of God. So fear is derived from an adjective, and always denotes a quality, never an activity. In general, Sophia means a materially complete and hence unusual knowledge and ability. To Aristotle, Sophia was attainable and quite specific knowledge, the most complete form of knowledge concerning an ideology. Wisdom or Sophia is actually a wise knowledge without reference to good or bad, right or wrong. It is short, a complete ideology of values, insights, dreams, hopes, and beliefs. Now, you can read further this in the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, Volume 3, pages 465 to 475. Now, wise or wisdom is an unfortunate translation as a lesser degree and exact when making a reference to Lucifer, but such is the case. Not all wisdom or ideology comes from the same source. According to the Word of God, there are two sources. A word that better communicates the meaning of Sophia's ideology with the context determining which ideology is meant. Wisdom is from above is divine ideology. Wisdom from the earth is cosmic ideology. Wisdom from above, James 3:17, is divine ideology as framed under God's divine decree as it relates to the protocol plan of the ages he has set down. The Father's wisdom from above is an ideology that's designed to resolve the spiritual warfare and angelic conflict by presenting two major tests to the human race. The first is the test of perfect environment, which relates to the Garden of Covenant and the Millennial Covenants. The premise, perfect environment cannot produce perfect happiness. Sooner or later, if there is disagreement with divine ideology, perfect happiness will self-destruct as it did in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm sorry, the Garden of Eden. The test of the curse or negative environment, which relates to the altar covenants as well as glorification covenants. During the church age and the second part of the 70th week of Daniel, Operation Footstool, during the tribulation, the age of Dan's judgment, when the dispensation of Hebrews is restored following the rapture of the church, by the age of the 70th week of Daniel, all the tribulation of Jacob's trouble. Possible perfect happiness cannot exist. I'm sorry, perfect happiness can't exist in a negative environment. If there is an agreement with divine policy, along with thanksgiving and gratitude for grace, blessings, and complete trust in the hand of God over your life. I repeat this important principle. Perfect happiness can exist in a negative environment. If we're in agreement with divine policy, along with thanksgiving and gratitude for grace, blessings, and complete trust in the hand of God over your life, you can find perfect happiness on a temporary basis through the filling of the Spirit and the application of Bible doctrine to all of the details and circumstances of life around you. Agreement with the Father's ideology is possible only if you are in mental agreement. Being mentally aware of the appeal covenant the Father set up when he bailed out, allowed Satan to go out on his own recognizance bail, free from the pagan idolatry, which is Lucifer's wisdom. Principle. Having wisdom does not always make you right or wrong. Okay. Sorry, I've got some health problems here today. I'm trying to teach through this class. Having wisdom does not always mean that you are right or good. It depends on which ideology you agree with and practice. Now, I repeat the principle. Having wisdom does not always mean that you are right or good. It depends on which ideology you agree with and practice, whether you're following the Father's ideology or Satan's ideology. The spiritual cause for divine ideology called good is mentioned in James 3:17-18. It is the first ideology that was taught to Adam and Eve following their instructions at the time they were removed from the garden, Genesis 3:20-21. Adam called his wife name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. The coats of skins were a type of Christ made in us righteous, a divinely provided garment. The first sinners might be made fit for God's presence. Now, initially, the instructions did not include the knowledge of the satanic appeal covenant related to good and evil in the garden before sin. They were introduced to God's way was the right way. All other ways were wrong. God was their creator God. They owed life to God. Therefore, they owed everything to God. Now, the Christocentric culture that the Father has designed. Christocentric culture is found in Colossians chapter 1 to begin with. We read it to you many times. I'll read it from the New American Standard. I've been reading from the King James, but I want to read this from the New American this morning. I read it from both. Colossians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 15. And he is the image of the invisible God. This is God the Son. We're speaking of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hypostatic union. The firstborn of all creation. The Son has all the rights belonging to the firstborn because of his preeminent position over all creation. And because the Father is centered in the Father's eternal covenant with the Son, the covenant of eternal glorification, which the Father has chosen to glorify the Son by allowing the Son to add human glory to divine glory by means of hypostatic union as the perfect God-man, Emmanuel. Verse 16, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things have been created by him, that's by God the Son. And for him, God the Son, he is before all things, being in all things all together. He is also the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so he himself might come to have the first place in everything, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Christ has been given the place of eminency, the place at the top. So we have the Christocentric culture. All right, the Christocentric culture was introduced first as the way of Abel. The way of Abel. Now, this is, I haven't taught you this before. It's important that we do. We covered it, but not as a culture, in a previous study relating to Abel and Cain some few years ago. The way of Abel, Genesis chapter 3, 4, verses 1 to 8. Genesis 4, 1 to 8. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I've gotten a man child from the Lord. And again she gave birth to a brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, and Abel on his part also brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why are your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And you do not well, sin is crossing at the door, and it desires for you, but you must master it. And Cain told Abel his brother, and he came about when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. The word Abel means breath or vanity, reflecting perhaps Eve's understanding of the import of the curse. Cain, in the Hebrew, and I've gotten, Kanati, Q-A-N-I-T-I, represented play on words. The meaning of Cain is probably the spear. Now look at Hebrews 11:4. Faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, to which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still lives. Cain did it his way. Abel did it God's way. Big difference. Now, to get the context, we have to go back to verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things so far, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is described in this great verse as the assurance, the reality of St. Mary's translated nature in Hebrews 1:3. And he is the radiance of his glory, and exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power, when he has made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Christ, the radiance, the effulgence, or flood of resplendent light, the word meaning an outshining, not a reflection, the exact representation of God's essence or nature, the expression, verse 3, are strong assertions of the deity of Christ, set himself down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The picture of Christ being seated indicates the finished character of the once and for all sacrifice for sin. Say Hebrews 10:10-12, and the right hand indicates the place of honor which he occupies. Faith is the issue in front of us here. The faith spoken of is not a mere moral virtue, which is a branch of the law, nor a bare assent to say that things revealed, declared, and affirmed in the gospel, nor a faith of doing miracles, nor an implicit one, nor a mere profession of faith, which sometimes is but temporary, nor or the word doctrine of faith, but that which is made mention of in the preceding chapter, by which the just man lives, and which has the salvation of the soul annexed to it. Does not so much design any particular branch or act of faith, but that in a general perspective of the various promises and blessings of grace, chiefly regards the faith of Old Testament saints, but that as to its nature, object, and acts is the same with the faith of New Testament ones in the firm persuasion of power. Faithfulness and love of God in Christ, the interest unto a special blessing. It is described as the substance of things hoped for, which is general of things unseen and not yet enjoyed, future and yet to come. Now, the evidence of things not seen, of things past, and what we've done eternity in the divine counsels that the dispensation of the triune God in, and covenants of grace and peace. About 4. Verse 2. For by the men of old gained approval. Men of old here is the Old Testament patriarchs. The Old Testament patriarchs have secured approval by living by faith. We often quote Romans 17b, the just shall live by faith. But what you understand, and we point out to you more than once, that is not a dispensational concept. All believers of all dispensations were to live by faith, and we confirm this from the fact that it says that in says it back in Habakkuk 2:4, as well as in Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38. The issue, faith. Verse 3, by the faith we understand that the world was prepared by the word of God, so that which is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The celestial world with its inhabitants, the sons of El, spirit beings, the starry and ethereal world with all that is in it, the sun, the moon, the stars, the fowls of the terrestrial world with all upon it, men, beasts, birds, fish life, whatever it may be, plant life. All these things come down from the concept. We're caused by the word of God, divine creation. God spoke and he created. Framed by the word of God, beautiful and convenient order, seen and everything is there. So which was not was seen was not made out of things which were not seen was not made out of things which were visible. God created the original universe out of nothing. And I'm introduced to Abel. The apostle proceeds the examples of faith and begins with Abel. Attention has been drawn to the fact that Adam and Eve are not mentioned. The fact that they are not mentioned was in no way denies the right as believers. Now, because of the fall and ruin of mankind by them, and by because the apostles speak ever such who receive such limited testimony by faith, and therefore passed by their brothers and hastened to Abraham, father of the Jews, the superior excellency of Abel's sacrifice to Cain lay both in the matter and in the manner of it. The one was offered highly to the Lord, the other was simply show. Adam and Eve are not mentioned in because they saw and lived before sin entered into the world. And therefore, their faith had been explained in a different way. Even though following their fall, their faith was the object of their faith for salvation, was the future seed to come. But they had walked in the garden and talked directly with God the Son. Now we have Abel who comes on the earth. Abel will accept the creation of Adam and Eve. Adam saw Eve's creation out of didn't see it. He was asleep, but when he came to, there she was, and God told him what he had done. Adam had seen the great beauties of this world before the curse fell upon the Adamic human race. Abel, born, saw none of this. But Abel came by faith. Abel brought the sacrifice required of God, a lamb. And we have no information concerning all the details of what was given to Abel to explain it, but we know that he brought the right sacrifice to the right place, because God, if God had not laid down the rules, God could not accept or reject, because God is both a righteous and a just God. Abel's sacrifice was a lamb, a type of Christ. It represented the fact that Abel was a sinner saved by grace. By bringing the sacrifice, he obtained witness. He was righteous. Not righteous by his offering, not righteous by his faith, but by the righteousness of Christ, whom the Lamb typified. We obtained a testimony that he was righteous. God testified about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still lives. Abel, though dead, still brings a living testimony to the world. What a glorious thing to think about and to realize that. The way of Adam was doing it God's way. I'm sorry, the way of Abel. The way of Seth, Genesis 4, 25 and 26. Following the death of Abel, believers were still believers on the earth. Adam and Eve were saved and were still on the earth. There were others, their children undoubtedly. A period of time went by. Genesis 4, 25 and 26. And Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed men of the offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. And the Seth to them also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Chapter 5 we read, beginning in verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. And the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. He blessed them and made them man. And the day when they were created, then Adam would live 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his own image, and named him Seth. Then the days of Adam, after he became father of Seth, were 800 years, and he began. And he had many other sons and daughters. So the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, and Seth lived 105 years and became the father of Enosh. This brought about revival. So the line would carry on down. It brought about. Seth establishes the kingdom, first Klein Nation kingdom to God, based upon the faith and the concept that with the birth of his son, revival began in the land. The way of Seth was a Christological way that is centered today in the bread of the communion cup. This is my body which was broken, take and eat. Christ is the perfect sacrifice. Christ's way is the spiritual way, and we need to learn to look at things from the spiritual way. The wisdom of God is ideology, which is under attack today by arrogant people functioning in what I call the interlocking systems of arrogance. James 3, 17, 8. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. But here we have a contrast in a three-part cosmic culture which came out of Lucifer's wisdom ideology. The wisdom, Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, the ideology of the Father, which was attacked by Lucifer as not able to totally satisfy the needs of finite creature, comes from above, from the throne room of the Father. This first we have proton, P-O-T-O-N, here refers to the first and essence, typically the most important, saying any mixture of ideologies would be confusing to the person who desires to follow God's wisdom. It appears that God's appeal court covenant that he made with Satan forbids any mixing of these two ideologies, pure hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, free of pollution or toxic ideas from human traditions and mentions used for pleasing God. To understand God's ideology, one must be free of pagan mixtures, 2 Corinthians 3, 13-17. Alright, Christ is the head of all things, so therefore the Christocentric theology that began was given by God the Son, who appeared in Christophany appearances to Adam in the garden. Adam taught it to Abel because Adam was the first prophet. Abel was following the system. Adam attempted to teach it to Cain. Cain decided to rebel and to reject it. Now, the principle is there to be understood. That God is functioning in a perfect plan. He passes the perfect plan down. One day at a time, one step at a time. In Luke chapter 1, the birth of John the Baptist, Zacharias spoke beginning in verse 67. He said, the father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. He spoke to his holy prophets, which had been since the world began. Adam was the first prophet. Adam communicated the truth from the Garden of Eden to Abel and Cain. Cain rejected truth. Abel bought the truth. Abel was functioning in the right way. Abel was murdered by God. With God's permission only, but not his directive will, shall I say, but by Cain. God allowed his servant Abel to be murdered. But God had the plan to restore things through Seth. Abel became the first believer to move into the eternal rest face to face in the rest of God in the paradise of the earth as a Gentile believer. Murdered by his own brother. God permitted it. He did not decree it. He did not cause the death, but he permitted the death. God is not the author of sin and evil. In fact, Satan is the father of moral murderers. Scripture teaches that. The father of liars. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, Abel's will was passed on to Seth. And this was the way of the Christological concepts. Now, the culture of Lucifer's, in contrast to the three-part cosmic culture which came out of Lucifer's wisdom in James 3:17, we have the wisdom Sophia, the ideology of the Father, which was attacked by Lucifer, as not able to totally satisfy the needs of finite creatures. God was challenged by Lucifer on three things. One, how can a loving God send one of his created creatures, created beings, the lake of fire? Two, how can a just God not send him to the lake of fire, creating a paradox between love and justice? And three, how can a finite God, infinite God, understand the finite needs of man? How can an infinite God understand the finite needs of man? So the wisdom we have in James 3:17 is the wisdom from above, from the throne of the Father. But the wisdom comes down from above. The wisdom from above, from the throne of the Father, is first, proton, P-O-T-O-N, here refers to first on the list and strategically the most important. So a mixture of ideologies would be confusing to the person who desires to follow the Father's wisdom. Now, the appeals court's section rule forbids any mixing of those two ideologies. Pure hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, means free of pollution of toxic ideas from human tradition and inventions, used to please God. To be understood, the Father's ideology must be free of pagan mixture, 2 Corinthians 3, 13-17. We have the same spirit of faith, according to it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that which I raised up, the Lord Jesus shall raise us up, raise up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All right, back to James 3:13. Or 3:17. But the wisdom is from above, from the Father's throne. It's first pure, then peaceable, nominative singular of Arena, Akas, A-I-E-N-I-K-O-S, refers to ability to solve the problems of negative circumstances in a way truly reflects. Arena is prosperity or peace. And is the third fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, Arena. Now, here we have the five solutions, objects to strife for conflict caused by contention, competition, jealousy. You have Irene speaks to the concept of problem solving rather than exploring something to satisfy your greed. The word gentle is an old adjective from ikos, E-I-K-O-S, meaning balanced or objective reasoning. Fair, with reference to the issues of authority. Recognition of authority and positions, while free of emotion, maintains a level of mental perspective that prevents false burdens. Easy to be entreated, old adjective, E-U-P-E-I-T-H-E-S, approachable, persuadable, when good arguments are presented, minus emphasis on inconsequential things, allows you to not get sidetracked by the wrong ideology when God's wisdom is under attack. Example, I stole because my children were hungry. The basis for Land of the Miserables by Victor Hugo. The man stole to feed his starving either nephew or niece. I believe it was a nephew, but I've forgotten now. Was set to the galleys as a slave and was continually put in prison, escaping. The mother's children is insignificant with respect to her need to steal, so to accept her argument is to obey Lucifer's ideology. My God shall supply all your need. If God doesn't supply the need, then God has chosen. The doorway is not open to the legitimate concepts. This is a testing from God. Well, the divine ideology is easy to be entreated, refers to readiness to believe and trust God's wisdom ideology is the only way to meet the perfect happiness. Well, let me tell you something. Our church is going downhill. What do we need to do? We need more programs. We need to cater to young people, so we need to find out exactly what the young people want. What are they seeking for? And we'll give it to one of the Christian contemporary rock music. We'll give them Christian contemporary rock music. Want a youth pastor who will stand around, hold a hand all day and play those silly games with them, we'll get them one like that. We'll get a senior pastor to cater to the old folks and separate them out in the corner and let one man take care of them and them alone. We're going to draw in young people, young married couples. Well, we're going to lead a young married couples team, a husband and wife, co-pastors or whatever it might be, to cater to them, to be sure that things are right. We'll break up into groups by age and sex and whatever. Divorce class over here. Married class, young marriage over here. Divorcees over here. Old marriage over there. Widowers over here. And on it goes. Nobody's standing up saying, thus saith the word of God and teach here. Let's get the right music. Let's make everybody happy. Only one way to keep people happy is to let them be a part of everything. So everybody wants to get up and sing a song in church, when they get a two in a bucket or not anymore. Let them sing solos if they want to sing solos. Play their instruments, even if they screech them and howl them. That's all right. That's okay. Because we want them to feel at home here. We want them to feel good here. Well, give them some attention here. Change for the sake of change. Throw out the old hymns, bring in the new. Don't stop to consider the doctrinal content of the old song. If you don't know, explain them. I got mad yesterday morning. Someone asked me what Noel meant, and my mind went totally blank. Noel is the French meaning for Christmas, of course, and down in Cajun country down south. They say Happy Noel. Instead of Merry Christmas or Happy Christmas, they say Happy Noel. My mind went blank. Church pastor where I was at, so my mind went blank too. We're just saying Noel, Noel, song. We need to know what we're saying. But we know what we're saying if it's doctrinally correct, and we can say it all right. But we need teaching to explain what's going on. And this becomes the issue. Icos means balanced or objective reasoning and fair recognition of authority positions, while free of emotion maintains a level of mental perspective that prevents false burdens. Easy to be entreated. Entreated is the old adjective, EUPEITHES, meaning approachable, persuadable, and good arguments are presented. Modest emphasis on inconsequential things allows you not to get sidetracked by the wrong ideology. Full of mercy, Elios, E-L-E-O-U-S. Now, under the divine ideology, easy to be entreated refers to readiness to believe and trust God's words of ideology is the only avenue to perfect happiness. Whatever ideology you practice is based upon a belief system. You find it easy to agree with God's predict experiment when you have the knowledge of good and evil and rules of the appeals covenant, and you can trust God to have everything under control. So you can be full of mercy, Elias. God says in Romans 9, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. God is not impressed with a person's demands of bargaining weapons and good fruits. Agathon, A-G-A-T-H-O-N, plus Carpon, K-R-P-O-N, refers to the protocol for the royal family of God honor code. Carpon, K-R-P-O-N, production that comes from doctrine of soul. It must be applied in the cost of single-mindedness without partiality. A-D-I-A-K-R-I-N-O. Diacrino plus the negative A. The alpha privative in front of the adjective indicates one of the two characteristics of double-mindedness, which God's ideology does not have as its operating base. Principle, unlike Lucifer, the father never takes the side of the sinner or the predator, or when he attacks authority. Diacrino means to be divided within. For example, to ignore a personal value if a friend is involved. You'll get stealing into someone you feel sorry for is called stealing for a good reason, so you might make an exception to the rule at that point of time. You hesitate to follow through on divine protocol because someone might be offended. About hypocrisy, A-N-H-U, P-O-K-R-I-T-O-S means the alpha primitive, suggests a second principle concerning divine ideology, namely that God the Father rejects this concept as a way of thinking. It deals with role play and the influence of personal gain. Lying becomes a major factor as you present different faces to different people. Lucifer cares about you only for your own gain. Lying begins with self and holds conflicting views. Divine ideology is consistent in all times concerning all views. Father, thank you for teaching your word, for your word is its truth absolutely and completely. Sanctified and blessed, we ask you in Christ's name. Amen.